We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
St. Paul once wrote, "There is none who is righteous, no, not even one." Is that an overstatement? We're going to talk about it in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we confess unto you that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. But we thank you for your marvelous grace that comes and brings us into your kingdom in spite of our sin, for you have granted us the forgiveness of all unrighteousness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Lord. So it is with that confession that we do come today, and it is with that prayer that you will have mercy upon us and that you will create within us a clean heart. Hear our prayer that we ask in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel, beginning at verse 1. One evening, David got up from bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. She had purified herself from her uncleanliness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent this word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how the soldiers were and how the war was going. And then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the place, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. When David was told Uriah did not go home, he asked him, "Haven't you just come from a distance? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my master Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open fields. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." Then later, David finds out that Bathsheba is pregnant, and he says to his pastor, "I have sinned against the Lord." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ. A lady by the name of Jane Levy has written a book entitled Sandy Koufax, A Lefty's Legacy. If you know anything about the game of baseball, at least in its history, you've heard the name Sandy Koufax. He is one of the greatest pitchers that the game has ever had. For many years, he was connected with the Dodgers baseball team, first in Brooklyn, and then later they moved to Los Angeles. In 1966, which was one of his great seasons, Sandy Koufax won 27 games and lost only 9. He had an earned run average of 1.73, and that is fabulous. There's a comical story or two that goes with Sandy. I'm sure that there are many if we only knew them. But after the World Series game in 1965, Tony Oliva was very concerned. For Sandy Koufax had thrown 5 consistent fastballs past him. He hardly saw them. Tony went to the eye doctor and said, "I have to have an examination." The doctor examined him and finally said, "There's not a thing wrong with your eyes, Tony. You have the best eyes of anybody on the ball club. The problem is that Sandy Koufax has got a fast ball that's hard for anybody to see." While we could go on with stories about baseball players, and you may be asking, why do you mention that in your sermon today? It is primarily because I see a real correlation between what Mrs. Levy has written and what we experience in the Christian faith. She says, "The hardest thing in sports is no single act. It is a replication of that act in an endless vacuum of infinite space. What made Sandy Koufax great was his ability to repeat a motion over and over again, pitch after pitch, batter after batter, game after game. His control was admired." Koufax said himself, "What the pitcher wants more than anything is to do exactly the same thing again and again. That's what makes the pitching great." Friend, that's what really makes the Christian life great. When you and I can be consistent. When we're not one thing today and another thing tomorrow. When people simply do not know how to take us because we have to take the temperature first and see how he or she is feeling. And then perhaps we'll know what their life will be like for that given day. What we're running into here is the fact that no matter who we are, we cannot always be consistent. Whether an athlete can be consistent day after day, I doubt, but I don't know. One thing I do know, that as a Christian, our lives are inconsistent. And therefore, I would like to use the theme, "Even the Righteous Fall." And again, I would like to take that person whose life we have been studying the last few weeks, David. You will remember that last week, David was talking with a cripple boy. His name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, and Jonathan was the son of Saul, and Saul was the king for whom David worked. He loved the king, even though the king tried to kill him. And as the days went by and Jonathan was dead and Saul was dead, he wondered about that family. He one day asked the question to a person, "Is there anyone in Jonathan or Saul's family who's still alive? I'd like to show some kindness to that individual." Then he was told that there was this lame man, had been lame since he was 5 years old, who was the son of Jonathan, and he was living in obscurity for fear that somebody would come and kill him. His name was Mephibosheth. When David heard that, he said, "Go get him. I want to talk with him." So he brought this person to the palace, and the man was frightened to death, thought now he was going to be killed for sure. And come to find out, that was not the case at all. For after David had set him at peace, he said, "Mephibosheth, I'm going to give you something great. You know, I loved your father, Jonathan. He was my best friend. In fact, one time we had a decree that even after one of the others was dead, we'd always remember that person. And I remember Jonathan as if he were my own brother. What I'm going to do, Mephibosheth, is I'm going to give you back all of the property that Grandpa Saul once had. And besides that, you're going to eat at our table every single day. When you see David like this, you see him at his very best. Here was a person who loved. Here was a person who wanted to share all that he had. Here was a person who had been touched by the hand of God and was truly one of God's great people. Now, turn in your Bible to 2 Samuel 11, and you get quite a different story. Here we're going to find David at his very lowest. So low that you can hardly believe that a person would ever stoop so low. You see, by this time, David was very well grounded as the king of Israel. The people loved him, and I could well imagine that it might have been a night where he was somewhat bored, and he was walking around the palace, and as he looked down to where the pool might have been, he saw a woman who was bathing, and she was very beautiful. It excited him, and so he made inquiry about her. He wanted to know who she was, and he learned that she was Bathsheba, and her husband, Uriah, was in the army. That well should have discouraged David of any more thoughts, but it didn't. He said, I want her and deliver her to my bedroom, and you know the rest of the story. Adultery was committed, she became pregnant, and then David had another problem. What am I going to do with her husband? Oh, I'll make a plan whereby they go away on a vacation, and then that which is conceived in her body, he will believe came from him. But it didn't work that way. And so, because he couldn't seem to get rid of Uriah in any other way, he finally said to the head of the army, put him up to the front and see to it that the enemy kills him, and that's the way we will get rid of him. So, all of a sudden, he had done two terrible things. First, he had committed adultery, and secondly, he had killed this man. I don't know how David really felt right after that. But some days later, there was a man who came to him by the name of Nathan. Then he was called a prophet. Today, we would call him the pastor of David. And he began to talk to him about what David had done. And when David heard finally what he had really done, when God had used Nathan to put that person in the corner and show him what a wretched person he really was, David had a confession. I have sinned against God. And then comes the absolution. Nathan says to him, in behalf of God, your sin is forgiven, but you will carry the scar. The child who has been born of your relationship with Bathsheba will die. He was forgiven. Isn't that interesting? The righteous fall, but they are lifted up by Jesus Christ to start over again. That's the way that it is with Christianity. There is the inconsistency there all the time. Now, we're not talking in terms of these particular sins when we deal with our own lives, perhaps. But there is some inconsistency there too, isn't there? We're not always the same. If we go back and ask our spouse or our children how things are at home, I'm sure that there will be some very, very difficult things for us to have to hear. We perhaps will hear these loved ones say, oh, most of the time it was wonderful. We love our family. We wouldn't want to live in any other family. But there were those times. There were those times when it wasn't the way that God wanted it to be. You see, sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. The righteous fall. Sometimes we can just be filled with God's love in Jesus Christ. And at other times, we can't seem to stoop low enough, where perhaps we use a tongue to degrade another person or do some unkind deed. That's the way it is. Even the righteous fall. But God at that particular time, friend, does not discard us. We say those are terrible moments when I have to stand in the presence of God, and in one sense of the word, they are, but they are marvelous times, because now God has got us in the corner, and now he can deal with us. And as he hears us say, as he heard David say, "I have sinned against God," he is anxious to say, "I'll forgive you. Now let's start over again." That's what God's grace is all about. I can hear some moralist who doesn't know very much about Christianity say, "So that's your Christianity, is it? Well, that's not the kind of Christianity that I know." In other words, what you're saying is that a person can live just about the way that he wants to on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday he can confess his sins and everything will be all right. A friend, if you have had the experience of standing in the presence of God, that will never be the way you reason. Nor was it the way that David reasoned. If you go back and take a look at his 51st Psalm, there he is confessing his sins. But after he has been assured that his sins are forgiven, what does he do? He turns and prays, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I just don't want to be forgiven. I want to be able to overcome my sins. I want to be a different person. I want to be a person who is consistent, who is always consistently showing my love for you. But that doesn't always work that way. And so when it doesn't, how grateful we can be to know that we have a God who doesn't discard us, who openly admits that even the righteous fall. But when they are fallen, that's when they are closer to him, and that's when they can be lifted up. As St. Paul wrote, "There is none who is righteous, no, not one. Even the righteous fall," and that is not an overstatement. Think of it, friend. We have heard today, we have seen a man who was at the height of his life with God and in great despair at the same time. Yet God forgives him. Can you think of any other savior, any other religious leader who can offer the world this? Only Jesus can. Point them to him. Amen.
Oh.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that your word has revealed that sin has no place in your economy at all, that there is no way that you can condone it, but there is a marvelous way in which you can forgive it, and that is through the merits of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you that we can meditate on a theme as we have done this day, that even the righteous may fall, but when they have fallen, you are there to pick them up and to create within them a new spirit, that they might not only enjoy the forgiveness of their sins, but victory over them. Lord, minister to us in that way, for we ask it in your blessed name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. Share the word of Christian Crusaders with a friend, a relative, or a neighbor. By making more people aware, we can increase our radio and internet ministry by sharing the word and spreading the light so that no one walks in darkness. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry. Gifts to our ministry are tax deductible, and we are using these gifts to spread the gospel message on radio broadcasts in 13 states across the nation and worldwide on the internet. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered the Christian Crusaders with their gifts and their prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Lesson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.